First of all, we want to thank you for that special music. It's always a pleasure to have Mr. Roji come to our church and bless us with his special talent. As always, it's a privilege and honor to be your speaker today. On behalf of Pastor Art Bushnell, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you in the house of worship. For our visitors, and I see a couple, we want you to feel a touch of heaven during your worship here today. We invite you to stay with us during our fellowship luncheon, during our pot lunch. As you all know, that our choir is away singing and praising God. And also our pastor is at the Waianae Church away preaching. So let us continue to pray for each other and our church family as we follow God's direction and the way that he would have us to go. My friends, since I last preached, I have experienced some physical pain. One Friday as I was leaving my work and on the way to my car, my legs started to hurt. I could hardly make it to my car. It was so, so painful. The following day, I could only take about 2 steps, and I could not stand because of the tremendous pain. My friends, my back had given out on me. I went to the emergency room that weekend 3 times. I was given shots in my back and in my legs for the pain. And I had to be pushed around in the wheelchair, and I was given crutches. And some of you saw me at the Central Church when I could only walk a couple steps on crutches, and they gave me crutches to use. I had to crawl around my house. I could not walk. We take things for granted until you just can't do them any longer. It's easy to look down on the lame or to ask the lame to walk. It's easy to ask the blind to see, the deaf to hear, until it happens to you. Then your priority changes. Our country today, priority change. With the downturn in our economy and with the election of Barack Obama, is he the one to put our nation back on his feet? Is he truly the one? Last year's headlines was the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. But now people are worried about their income, jobs, and the economy. Closer to home, we had a quick change in priority. We was hit with the rain and the floods. Here in paradise, here in the where everyone wants to come, we was hit with a small disaster. Schools was closed. Home and businesses had been flooded out. And even in the Lord's house, as you can witness by the flames, the flood came into the Lord's house. It was rain from the beginning of the church all the way to the back. It hit us personally here. My friend, people are worried today. And they ask, when will we be able to get back on our feet? Will we make it? As Christians today, we must have hope. Hope that our tomorrows will be better than our todays. Hope that our economy will be able to recover from the disaster on Wall Street that has hit Main Street. Hope, not only hope that we may only have our income, our jobs, our retirement, but we shall always have hope that the God will be with us regardless of what we ever go through. That's the hope we should have as Christians. Not the hope in Obama or the government, but the hope in Jesus Christ. I had to have the hope that I could get out of that wheelchair, off the crutches, and be standing in front of you today to preach the word of God. My friends, our only hope can come through God and having a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the question is, who will be that messenger of hope? Who will be that messenger of hope? You often hear me say that I'm not a preacher by profession. I'm just an old soldier. So today's message is the one I delivered over a year ago, but it still applies to each and every one of our lives today. The question is, who is qualified to be that messenger, to bring you the word of God? My Bible says, we all as Christians are commissioned by Christ to spread the gospel to all the earth. We are to go, whether it's next door or to another country, to make disciples, to bring that hope. That you are the messenger today. Not Barack Obama. Not Mufti Hanuman. You are the messengers of hope today. You as Christians, because Jesus Christ has commissioned each and every one of us to bring that hope. My friends, we are all not evangelists in that formal sense. But we all have received gifts that we can use to fulfill that great commission. We're not asking you to come up here and preach. We're not, and I hope you're not asking me to get up here and sing. Because God has given each and every one of us unique gifts that we should be able to spread that commission. And as we obey, we can have comfort in Jesus' promise that he will always be with us and never forsake us. You heard me tell the story before of a little boy standing on the street corner, and beside him was his little dog. The dog was just a flea-bitten mutt. And then a man came along and asked the boy, what kind of dog do you have there, son? The boy replied, he's a police dog. Holding back his laughter, the man said, son, I know what a police dog looked like. I even know what a police dog act like, and that is not a police dog. The boy stuck his chest out and said to the man, sir, he's in the Secret Service. My friends, Christ did not call us, nor does he need a Christian Secret Service. We're called to be the salt. We're called to be light. We're called to preach the word and win souls to Christ as we are called to impact the world. One of the most important things we can do as Christians is to bring healing, hope, and peace through Christ that will change somebody's broken life. Have you had an impact on anybody's life recently? Have you had an impact on anybody's life recently? You don't have to try to impact the world, but impact one person. And then you'll find out you will have impact the world through that person. As Christians today, in a lost, sick world, instead of being a healer and bringing hope, we often find ourselves crippled in need of a miracle. So the title of my sermon today is simply called, It's Walking Time Too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, take all foolishness away. Open up our hearts and minds that we can hear only the sound of your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 3 records the church's first recorded miracle, Peter's healing of the lame man. Lame, as described in Webster, is a cripple, physically disabled, especially in the foot or the leg. A person unable to walk. In today's climate, to be politically correct, we would say that we would be physically challenged. If you will, open up your Bibles before you go to sleep. Open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. And read with me from verse 1 through 10. And I will be reading the Word of God through the International Version. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And it reads as follows. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intensely, and Peter says, "Look at us." The lame man looked at him eagerly, expecting a gift. But Peter says, "I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was a lame beggar they had seen so often at the Gate Beautiful, they were absolutely astounded. My friends, this miracle was more than just a miracle for the Jews years ago. It was a demonstration of two learning points for us today. One, Jesus is alive and his power is just as active upon the earth today as when he walked upon it. Point two, Jesus is now working through his followers, and through him he is reaching out to save and heal the world. His followers are now his representative to a lost world and a suffering, dead, and shameful world. In fact, Jesus has no hands, but our hands. Jesus has no feet, but our feet. Jesus has no voice, but our voice. How many years had this man been sitting there begging? Carried there each day and placed at the temple. 10 years? 20 years? 30 years? We're not told. But no doubt he had been a beggar year after year after year. Because as we read in verse 10, everyone knew him. Picture a man, a helpless cripple, unable to work, being ignored, poor, never fitting in, never being accepted. My friends, my Bible tells me that this man wasn't even looking up at Peter and John when he asked them for money. Can you imagine that? He was not even looking up when he asked them for money. As I go into Schofield every day, ever so often I see a man on the corner and he has a sign, "Hungry, I work for money." At least he's looking at you. At least he's looking at you when you dig into your pocket to give him money. But this man didn't even look up. For years of having people just turn the other way had taught him he was different, that he just didn't fit in. The point is, this man was hurting. He was hurting inside as well as out. This man today is a living picture of so many in the world. People who are wounded, who are suffering so much from the neglect of men, from an unconcerned world, from a world that often just look the other way. We came in the church this morning, and me and Chris, as we was going into YWY, we noticed the same gentleman that's been sitting there since before I got here more than 11 years ago. The same homeless guy, all dirty, and again, people just passing by. People just, and you probably saw him today as you was coming into YY, and all the homeless people coming from under the bridge. But are we really concerned? Are you really, really, really concerned? Most people are not. But more critical is people who are suffering so much from the neglect of God's people. The very people who confess to know and love God for all people, and yet act so unconcerned and selfish as the world. Did you act any different than that other person on the street when you passed the guy up today? Or did the just thought just pop in your mind? Oh, yeah, there you go again after the 11th time. There you go again. You see, Jesus can only work through people who can see the desperate needs of men and women. Just look around you today. Do you see a need? Do you see a need at work? Do you see a need at home? Do you see a need at church? Do you see the hurting people, the men and women, in your lives today? Peter looked at the old man, and he saw a man in need. He could have just walked away just like everyone else did that day, but not Peter, because he was led by the Spirit of God, and now he was on earth to meet the needs of men. My friend, that man is symbolized here today in many of our lives. A lot of times we picture ourselves as being that Peter, that John walking up and healing him. But that gentleman today is symbolized here in our lives because some of us are wounded and suffering. Some of us came to church today with our heads down, looking at our condition. Crippled from past relationships. Crippled from the loss of a loved one. Crippled from loneliness, depression. Crippled from problems at home, problems at work. Even problems from sin. And we're looking to have our needs met today. That's why we passed by that guy at YY. Because we're looking to have our needs met today. I'm not criticizing you for passing them up because at times we are crippled because we are looking to have our needs filled. You know, this man was carried at the entrance to the temple. And what was interesting was he was not carried into the temple. He was stuck. He was stuck until they could carry him again. He was depending on other people to carry him each and every day. Here lies many of our problems. We depend too much on others to carry us. But what we fail to realize is that they can only carry us so far. You depend on your mother, your father. Oh, my father used to be a preacher in the Adventist church for 20 years. Oh, my mother used to be a politician. Or my father did this. I'm telling you, they can only carry you so far. Many of us come here week after week, and we're stuck at the gate. We not really have entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Spiritually, some of us is right at that gate. Right at the gate. At the place of deliverance, expecting a breakthrough. But we just stop short of our blessings. Because instead of wanting to trust God, we'd rather be stuck. We get comfortable stuck as a cripple. We get comfortable as a cripple. You see, Peter and John was about to go into the temple for prayer. You see, prayer can make a difference in your life. Why? Because prayer is our communication with God. I'll say that again. Prayer can make a difference in your life today. Because it's our communication with God. We as Christians should stay in a state of prayer. Even when you're driving, you can say a little prayer. You don't have to get down on your knees like we didn't do today. You can pray while you're driving. You can pray while the boss is cussing you out. You can pray while your wife is nagging at you. I see some of y'all smiling, especially the men. You can pray when your husband gets on your nerves. You can pray when the grandkids go crazy in the house. We should always stay in a state of prayer because that's our connection. That's our connection and communication with God. If you're wounded by marriage, it's praying time. If it's sickness, it's praying time, my friends. If it's loneliness, it's praying time. We're going through this debt. The debt and this bad economy and looking for a job. It's praying times, my friends. We don't have to look for Obama. We need to get down on our knees and pray to the person that can really help us. Because let me tell you, man will fail you. Man will fail you each and every time. But God never will. We just have to depend on Him. Church, because you have to go through your praying time to get to your walking time. I say that again. You have to get past your praying time to get to your walking time. See, prayer is an important step in your spiritual walk. Let Jesus guide your every feet so you can be His voice, His hands, and His feet. We as Adventists love to give the book Steps to Christ. If someone is having a problem at home, and they have you, and they see you having a bigger problem in your home, are they going to step to Christ? If someone is having an alcoholic problem, and they see you what you call that social drink, oh, it ain't going to hurt you. A little bit of this wine ain't going to hurt you. I just take it with my dinner every other day. Then that can be turned to every day, every meal, in the morning before you eat. Oh, it's okay. Are they going to take a closer step to Christ? If someone is having a problem in their lives and they see that we have bigger problems in our church, are they going to step to Christ? We have to show people who are holding on to this dying world that stepping into Christ is a step up and not a step down. Because it's walking time, church. We got to walk. Holding on to Christ should be a step up, not a step down. When people see you today, do they envision that they would be making a step down? Because they say, oh, look at that Adventist. And every time you hear them, they're complaining. Is that a step up? You know, many of us today are living at the gate of deliverance and still asking for a spare changed life. We're at the gate. We're at the gate of deliverance. But we're still asking for a spare changed life. Instead of a complete and whole life that only God can provide. Again, picture the scene. A cripple, carried and laid just out the interest of fulfillment, to beg and depend on others to give him spare change. I don't know about you, but I want more than a spare change life. Christians deserve more than a spare change life. Stop wasting your time in bitter relationships. That's just spare change. Stop neglecting your family for that golf game or that TV show. That's just spare change. See, God has given us a high-dollar wage to live and enjoy life with, and we cheat with a loose-chained man or a loose-chained woman. God don't want us to do that because God is a high-dollar guy. You may say, Elder Greer, I deserve more than a spare-chained life. I can live better than this. I'm tired of wasting my time. I'm tired of being tired. I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Then I say, get up today. Get up and walk. Get up and leave that sick and tiredness alone. And get up and walk. Some of us still want to be carried. Someone was carried here this morning. But the wonderful thing is that you may have been carried in the church, but you can walk out. I say that again. Some of us was carried in the church today, but we can't walk out on our own. I needed some help once and found that Jesus was the answer to my broken down life. I'm no better than anybody else. I needed help and Jesus was the answer to my broken down life. Because I didn't want to spare change life anymore. I didn't want to stay crippled. I started walking. I started walking because one day on the hill called Calvary, Jesus shed his blood that healed all the wounds that came into my life. And through only his amazing grace that I'm here today. Because amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Jesus hung, bled, and died so his power could be available to heal the sick, mend the heart, bring broken homes together. His power is here today. His power is here for healing. His power is here for saving the lost. His power is here for you and for me. That's why I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than the riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses and land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. The good news is that Jesus is alive today. So we can get up and walk. We can get up and walk in Christ. We don't have to be stuck as a cripple. You can walk out of debt today. You can walk out of loneliness. Just let Jesus guide your footsteps into his peace. The fact of the matter is Jesus' power is not found in silver and gold. Peter had no silver and gold, no money or material, no food or clothing. You know, getting back to the story, that's what that man thought he needed. He thought he needed that money. That's what he wanted, and that's what he expected. And that's what it seems to the world that man needed. He needed the money. However, that's not what the man needed. See, that's not the basic need of man. Man needs to be changed inside and out, physical and spiritual. You guys didn't get that. Man needs to be changed inside and out, physically and spiritually. Man's spiritual welfare is his basic need. We say that job is. No, it's not. We say that retirement. No, it's not. You say that nice home. No, it's not. That is not your basic need. Man's spiritual welfare is his basic need. If your spirit is right with God, you become whole. If your spirit is wrong, the result is just a broken, sinful life. God is here to make each and every one of us whole. That man was changed. He was no longer shy, embarrassed, ashamed. He began to fit in. Jesus offered to change your crippled life today so we can get up and start walking. It's walking time for you that are struggling in your marriage. It's walking time for the lonely person today. It's walking time for each and every one of you. And as I was laying in my bed, and as I was thinking about the times that I may have said something wrong, you know, you reflect differently when you're on your backside and can't do for yourself. I was in that chair and I reflected. Not just on the physical part, but on the spiritual part. It was time for me to get up and walk. Physically, I couldn't walk. I was on the cane. I was in the walking chair. I couldn't get around. I had to walk like this just to go to the bathroom. I had to go into a handicapped wheelchair in order to even go shopping. My friends, are we in worse condition today? Are we in a worse condition today spiritually? Are you handicapped by your relationship? Are you handicapped by the things that you say? Are you handicapped in your relationship with your wife, with your children, with your family? Now is the time to throw away that cane. Throw away that handicap and come to Jesus Christ today. Now is the day. Now is the day. to change your life. Because it's walking time. It's walking time for you. It's walking time for you. I don't care how long you think you've been in church. I've been in church 30 years. Who is that elder talking to? I've been in church 15 years. I don't know who he's talking to. I'm going to talk to the pastor about him. It's walking time. It's walking time. It's walking time for you. And it's walking time for me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You don't have to be crippled anymore. You don't have to be sick anymore. You don't have to be broke anymore. Will you please come and play softly 289? The Savior is waiting. Because the Savior is waiting for each and every one of us today. Don't look at the situation. We're going to have situations as we live in a sinful world. There's going to be floods. There's going to be even worse things than floods that come into your life. Well, how about the floods that come into your emotional life? How about the floods of emotion? The floods of sickness? But God is there. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It says, it was a day just like any other day. The sky wasn't any bluer. The birds didn't sing any louder. The sun didn't shine any brighter. But yet, before the day was finished, it was like any other day that have ever existed. You can experience that day today. Today could be your day of change. Today could be your day of change. It says if you take one step towards the Savior, my friend, his arms is always open wide. Sometimes your friends may reject you. Even your family may turn their backs on you. But Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. All you have to do is turn your problems over to him today. You just have to learn to be obedient and take that first step. Then you learn to take that second step. Then the third step. Then you find yourself walking with Jesus Christ. You just have to give your problems over to him today. The most important thing that Peter and John did, and those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, is to offer an invitation. An invitation to experience the healing, deliverance, and a new life in Christ. Silver and gold? No, we have none here. When I came in church today, I didn't see no gold under the pews. Did you, Sharon? I didn't see no silver up under the piano. Because we had none. But what we can offer is Jesus to a needful and hurting world. That's what we have to offer. That's what we have to offer today. So I invite you to raise up and walk. And walk in his name today. And if that's your desire today, I will ask you to stand up with me as we sing this song. 289. We will change this closing song. It's 289 now. The Savior is waiting, because that's appropriate.
And now he
Church says.